This is Remote Ruby.
Have you any remote idea to the meaning of the word?
We're live at the the Rails World after party. Yeah, we can close the door.
Yeah.
And we're without
Chris,
our least popular co-host.
That is true. He is the least popular.
We are with our new most famous co-host, Andy Kroll.
Woo!
Hello. Oh, there's Chris.
Oh, oh, it's got the sound effect deck. That's so good.
Shall I move? No, you should probably go. So I'm going to be spare. 1 second.
Ladies and gentlemen, award-winning Ruby developer Chris Oliver.
Keep it muted.
We did it. We made it.
Oh, cheers.
Finally.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Andy, what was your favorite part of all Rails World?
It was just lovely to not have to fly across the Atlantic to a large Ruby event, or indeed organize one myself. I can just attend this one.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
You two spoke, which is...
It's all right.
It's all right. Chaps can find it stressful.
Yeah.
I'm amazed Andrew's made it to this much of the conference.
Thank you, I think. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Is that time zones working in your favor? Is that...
Me and sleep don't really get along anyway, so I feel fine. I feel like I'm in my prime right now.
He brought a prime.
I did bring a prime because I thought I was going to flex on the kids here. Just so you know, I get prime.
Total Gen Z.
I was going to say, he's the youngest member. He probably even understands TikTok.
I don't have a TikTok.
Ooh.
Is it called a TikTok?
It's called TikTok. Mr. TikTok.
I don't have Mr. TikTok, but I do like Mr. Robot.
That was a good show.
Yeah,
it was a great show.
Chris, you're going to say something.
Oh,
so have you caved in anyone's skull with your heavy award yet?
No, I don't actually. I think Brooke took it back to the to the hotel, but now we got to figure out how to get that giant check home.
You have to take the giant check home.
I want to take it home. No. I got to stripe giant check.
I was going to say, it will match the stripe one. You have
I'm
going to
end up with a wall of giant checks at home. Is it weird that we're recording in person again? It
feels natural.
Yes, for me.
We're going to fly all...
It is different having Andy here.
It's weird having your voices live in my ears.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a bit more annoying, isn't it?
Oh,
can't pause you, unfortunately, which is... Let's skip forward 30.
Skips like the first 30 seconds of the podcast, Andy? Is that your comment?
You should definitely use Honey Badger. It's the thing I should definitely pick up.
Absolutely.
Right? We should also do our due diligence and thank Buzzsprout
for this.
Yeah, they've been amazing.
You can't see it as you're listening.
But you can feel the quality.
Yeah, can you feel it?
We are literally inside an after party right now.
Yeah.
We're in a glass box of emotion.
Rails World was fun. The end.
No.
It was awesome.
Y'all both gave great talks. What did you think about their talks?
I thought they were both excellent.
Me too.
Chris was a information... dump.
Chris, did you breathe during that? That was what someone asked me.
I had a longer slot, 40-minute slot, and when I practice ran it, it was like 36 minutes. Because Amanda was like, we need people of 5 minutes or whatever to go to the next talk or whatever, and then get up on stage, and it's like, I'm probably not going to talk at the same speed I was giving the talk practicing. And I think it was a couple minutes over, but man, there was a ton of stuff in there. The nice thing was like, I've given a handful of screencasts in my past, and so I kind of just memorized the entire talk and ran through it. That was about it. So,
and Jason had some excellent gags that are well worth video gags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I very much enjoyed.
So at one point, if you're listening, in my talk, I said we're going to present about Laravel. I was like, oh, wrong slide. The screen goes to me closing it and opening like another presentation. It actually apparently confused the people in the back. They're like, how? After I got off stage, the guy said, my colleague was like, how is he doing that? And then they realized it was a video.
One of my talks, I started with like a meta talk of me booting up the presentation, but I had to build that inside the presentation. So you're sort of like layering. It's like, I know I'm wasting my time here, but I might get a laugh.
That was me.
And that's the important thing. This may have taken me 3 or 4 hours to pull this together in Keynote or PowerPoint. You're like, but 3 people in the front are going to laugh. That's the validation I'm looking for.
That's it. That's the only reason I do anything. Just
the validation of a few handful of people.
So I can sit in the front row and cackle.
Yeah, we got the nod god over here.
Sure, my neck hurts. Putting this conference on my neck the whole time.
He lifts you up with but he uses his neck to do it. He should really bend at the knees, but...
Yeah, bend with the neck.
That's why you don't have your furniture to move.
Yeah.
Chris, what was your favorite part of the conference?
Talking to people as usual. I got to your talk and my talk. And that was about it.
You didn't go to the keynote?
Well, yeah, I was at the keynote. I don't count those.
You don't count those as talks?
Like everybody,
I count them as two talks.
Everybody goes to those. You don't have people in the hallway during the keynotes usually.
Not typically.
I think our remote Ruby stickers might be the best part, though.
That's true.
That was pretty solid.
They were of high production value.
What did I say earlier? Prepared pals or something like that.
Paul, don't edit this out, please.
Please, Paul.
Prepared pals.
What else are we going to talk about? We got time.
I think if I was to say one thing, it's as a first run event.
Crazy.
Oh, jeez. Just unbelievably
unbelievable.
Good.
Really impressive.
I mean, the bar is set so high.
Yeah.
Toronto next year. Going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I really like jumping between North America and Europe. It's going to give me an excuse to come back to Europe.
No.
I very much enjoyed not.
Well, yeah, of course.
I really liked coming to Europe because I want to do it forever, but I'm really not looking forward to going home now. So
yeah,
I get it.
Just one-way ticket next time.
I love it here. I could stay.
Well, of course you do.
Yeah, it's
my people.
You walk past some coffee shops.
They've got these coffee shops here.
As you wander around the streets of Amsterdam, it's kind of a gritty city, is the waterways, and you walk past, and suddenly you're accosted by a cloud
smells
of fine smelling gas.
Yeah. And the Zaza.
You're like, whoa! Like I need to walk quickly, or I'm never going to walk again.
Dink,
because I'm 44 years old, and I cannot handle it.
Yeah.
It's a lovely town. The building's amazing. The food's been really great. The food's been really good. The people have been lovely.
There's been a lot of water here.
Is that something you don't own?
I just like when there's water at conferences.
Where have you been?
I hit the blue button.
There it is.
It was good as a subtle joke, Andy, once you call attention to it. It's like an if you know, you know thing.
Yeah.
Oof.
Just lots of food. Like, nobody had time to breathe to start a conversation.
We got on the boat to go to the island where we were almost murdered for dinner. And
that would have been a good story for me.
Oh.
If y'all had gotten murdered.
Yeah, because you would just take over the podcast.
I wouldn't just take over the podcast. I'd take over your lives.
Oh.
Chris has a $1 million check that I would write Andrew Mason on.
He's going to add some more zeros to it too.
I want that Stripe check. That's what I want, the Stripe check. You can keep the one you got here.
Well.
Yeah, $1,000.
Yeah, just go cash it.
Yeah, that's exactly. Run through the ATM.
No, on the way here, I was really excited to come to Rails World, and we got to the airport. And it would be really funny if I peel out after getting my parking ticket to park at the long-term parking, and I went over the spikes really fast and let go of the gas pedal and rolled back over them and popped my two front tires and then made it to the fifth floor. Got my van towed, so I didn't have to pay for parking this week.
That's good.
Just two new tires.
There you go. You don't have to pay for an Uber to go to the airport.
These are unethical life tips.
Towed home.
This is not the kind of hacks I was thinking I would hear about this conference. This is we're deep into life hack territory. Rather than Aaron Patterson patching Ruby to do some mad stuff with a Ruby LSP.
You're talking about the people who brought stickers that were name badges with Ruby written on it. These are our life hacks.
It's the preparation pals.
See?
I just didn't realize they were so high quality. I just presumed they had been printed and certainly not scribbled together over breakfast.
Definitely not at breakfast.
I think Marco might have got the Wiimote Wooby one that I made.
Wiimote Wooby.
Yeah.
Andrew wrote one that just says Jason sucks.
Oh, nice.
That's because I was writing it. He pushed my hand like a toddler and then I scribbled everywhere.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Andy, it feels good to have you here.
Yes.
I'm going to step out because people are hovering and I think other people want to come in.
They want us.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm excited to hear you.
Yeah, you're still here.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment in and of itself.
I mean, actually that is.
Yeah.
All right, chaps.
We want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Buzzsprout. This episode was made possible because we recorded live at Rails World 2023 in Buzzsprout's sponsored podcast booth. We had an awesome little booth to record at the conference with people who were in attendance. This is actually our first time that Andrew, Jason, and I were able to record together in person live. So it was pretty awesome. And all of that was possible thanks to Buzzsprout. So shout out to them. If you plan on starting a podcast, check out Buzzsprout. You can also easily import your podcast from another hosting service to Buzzsprout as well. So check them out if you would like to try Buzzsprout out for hosting your podcast.
Robbie Russell.
In the house.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Wow, this is Professional. Vibrant. Yeah.
It's the Z-shell, man.
That's me.
How's your conference been?
Inspirational.
There you go. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You did an excellent job on the Rails core AMA.
Thank you. What did you learn from the core team during that, if you were paying attention?
That Aaron submitted a question to the core team that he's on.
He did. He did. Well, I mean, it came up in a conversation last night over drinks and stuff like that, but I decided I would sneak that in. Good to see you, Andrew.
Yes.
Good to see you, Jason. Thanks. How are you?
We're good.
Still here, apparently.
What's your deal? What's your deal, Andrew? Okay. I feel like we've made eye contact a few times and you're just like...
I'm just an awkward person. I think that's my deal. It's, hey, there's like inward me is like, go be social. And then outward me is like,
I can appreciate that.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't classify myself as an extrovert. So when I got asked to do the panel, I was like, I'm going to sleep on this. And then the next morning I woke up at 3:30 in the morning and I was watching YouTube videos on how to be a panel moderator. And then I bought two books by this woman that I found that wrote books on being a panel host. And some of the guidance in one of the books was you want to keep a panel under like 3 to 4 people. And I was like, they picked 10 people to be on this panel. And so how am I going to make that work? So my podcast is just one guest at a time.
You did great.
Thank you.
I particularly enjoyed how you inject little bits of humor to keep it going.
I try to bring a little bit of myself to that. One of the goals of the panel discussion was to make sure that people got to know that there is a bridge from being a developer to potentially doing something like making major contributions to a project like Ruby on Rails, and also to highlight that you didn't need to have a computer science degree or something to get into this. And I think that's something I didn't know that about all the core. I actually did not know
their background. Yeah.
So that was something I asked. So it was less people than I thought. I actually expected more of them to say, oh yeah, I have a degree. It was like, I was like, oh, it was only a few of you. So I learned a lot out of the conversation as well. But another element of it is there's a lot of people that go into the project and ask the people in the crowd to, you know, interact and stuff as well and like share if they've contributed to the project, which I think surprised even the people in the core that there were that many people in the attendance. And then another aspect of it was you don't always get to know what everybody on the team's kind of working on a little bit and like what their involvement is and what their specialties are, because unless you like really actively pay attention, and some of them are kind of nervous to do the thing in the first place. But, you know, if you look at their like Git history on the project, some of them are hit or miss on how frequently they're working on it. But I don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean if Git commits doesn't necessarily equate to being an active member of the project, because you can be doing a lot of things behind the scenes, prioritizing things.
It was so good. I think we see a lot of the core team's work and we don't talk to them as much because they're diligently working behind the scenes and everything and making our lives possible, which is super cool to see, you know, and how just get to know them better. Like there are people who ship code constantly and they're maybe not talking publicly about what they're doing and how they solve things and whatever. So I really loved that. And I hope we do more of that because these are the people making the core framework that we all depend on.
It's true.
They're core to the framework.
Corn dogs.
They're like the hot dog inside the batter. What are we? We're like a condiment?
Or
are we
relish?
Ketchup and
are mustard? We just like the people waiting on the other side of...
We're the container, the little plastic paper container that you put the corn dog in as you hand it over to someone.
So what's new in your world?
Well, we're on a podcast with an award winner. So
pretty much I knew that was happening the last week and I had to keep it secrecy.
You did a good job.
Keeping it secret? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
I would have told you, Chris. Got you.
Cool. I'm glad to see this going to like Ruby Heroes. I remember seeing that those given out and everybody super well deserved those and
very much.
They went away and I missed that. So it's great to bring that type of thing back. And I just can't wait to see who else.
Yeah,
because there's so many deserving people out there. So,
and they weren't
such a great community.
The Ruby Hero stuff was before my time. So, like, my generation of Ruby on Rails developers has no idea that was even a thing.
Well, why don't you describe it then for your Gen Zers?
I'm not Gen Z, and I don't know what it was. I guess it was just like an award that was given out at conferences, but
there you go. Nailed it to Ruby Heroes.
That was easy. But why? How was it chosen? What were the criteria? Who got it? I have questions.
Did Ryan Bates get one?
Yeah, he definitely did.
I remember Schneem's. I think Schneem's got one.
Like I think
Otfi Grimm.
The NV, Rails NV guys.
Oh, yeah. Code School?
Yeah, they had the Rails Zombies.
Yeah, Greg Pollock, Olivier.
I remember them in particular, but Yep, that was a good time.
But what was like the criteria? Like what made them Ruby Heroes? Not them specifically, but like...
A lot of it had to do with creating educational and helpful content and helping with maybe active bloggers. I think maybe using the mediums that were available at the time, you're doing video and stuff, Chris. It's kind of like that with Ryan Bates doing a screencast about like every little component. Like, hey, I'm going to do this new thing and use this. Here's how to do this thing and with Rails and this new, you know, using attachment foo or whatever the thing was hot back then. You know, it's interesting... Rick Olson, Technoweenie, was the person that created Attachment Foo, which
was an early GitHuber, right?
Yeah, early GitHuber. Coincidentally, he's kind of like a person that's actually behind Oh My Z Shell. Confession time, to get down to it. I actually emailed him about a week and a half ago and he replied to me. I was like surprised because he's kind of gone a little amiss on the taking a break from online coding, open source work. But he did a lot of interesting stuff with Z Shell early. He actually was one of the people that encouraged me to use Z Shell back in like probably 2007. Ish or so. And so a lot of my configuration kind of was like some copy pasting from his pasty and then kind of a shared thing. And so Oh My Z Shell eventually became like kind of evolution off of what he had shared with me and I had taken from other people and cobbled together this thing. And then I released the thing. And then so I'm kind of taking credit for this thing that he kind of actually helped kind of spearhead.
There's a lot of projects that start that way. And whoever starts it doesn't take it the distance. But
who are you talking about?
I don't know anyone.
He's talking about me. I started like three projects with Chris and bailed. I tried to pull up RubyHeroes.com and I got a Heroku application error. So
that's
I guess
Heroku
we'll never
took down probably, all the free apps.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably that. Yeah. What did you look in the Internet Archive?
That's too much work.
Yeah.
Especially from a phone. Your band's called the Mighty Missoula, right?
It is.
How's
which
that
is
going?
Sick.
Last week, we spent the whole week recording drums in like a recording studio cabin outside of Portland, Oregon.
Cool.
And I will be working on recording guitar. So we're working on our fourth album release. So gotten past the first couple album thing. We did a tour this summer and we played a small festival in Indianapolis at a post-rock is kind of this genre of music. And we got invited to play at a festival there. And that was one of my highlights of my life was getting to play with that large of an audience of like 300 people, maybe. It was kind of a pretty exciting thing for me. And we went on tour and we rented a van and it broke down and all the fun stuff that happens.
So you got the real experience.
Yeah, that was fun. So we're working on our fourth album and we'll be releasing that next year. And we'll see if I can keep making this thing fun and fun little side project of mine. It's one of my many side projects. So yeah.
It's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, I always like seeing you post about that. I used to play music in past life. So.
Nice.
I wanted to be a rock star, so.
This man's a rock star in his own mind.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I feel like being a little nervous about the panel. And I was like, well, I was actually way more nervous about playing something that I created with my band on stage in front of all these people that very much like this genre. And but knowing like they all want to see us be successful and they want to enjoy themselves for 30 minutes. And I'm like, I feel like I can do that for an hour, talk with these people, let them talk about what they're doing. And this
it's
is
a good way to position it.
Yep.
So your nerves and stuff just kind of go away because it's, well, we're here to entertain them.
Yeah.
Let's do what we can.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Monitoring, like web development and lots of other things, can be complicated. There are tons of tools and techniques, but you just want to know that your app is up and that your customers are happy. When your customers encounter a problem, you need clear, actionable intelligence, not walls of charts and reams of logs to tail. And that's why the team at Honey Badger built Honey Badger. The monitoring tool that they always wanted, a tool that's there when you need it and gets out of your way when you don't, so that you can keep shipping. Know when critical errors occur and which customers are affected, respond instantly when your systems go down, improve the health of your systems over time, and fix problems before your customers can report them. Honey Badger is the application health monitoring tool built for you, the developer who cares about a quality product and happy customers. Start monitoring today at honeybadger.io. And best of all, Honey Badger is free for small teams, and setup takes as little as 5 minutes. Once again, that's honeybadger.io.
William Kennedy, will you state your name for the listeners?
Yeah. Well, I think you've done the work for me, Jason, but yeah, my name's William Kennedy.
So your most famous blog post has to be on SPAs, right?
Yeah. Should I explain the joke? Because obviously it's a very visual blog post. Yeah, so for years, we've had the development of SPAs, and there was always like a pushback in the Rails world where everything's server rendered and there's a server rendered versus a client rendered argument. And I always just found client apps to have this. I just thought one day I was just walking my dog and I was like, oh, do you know what'd be funny? And in 30 seconds, I went up and I just, some CSS and SVG. And I only had 40 Twitter followers at the time. I took it for granted. I just had a kind of sarcastic tweet. And I shut off my phone, went for a run and came back. And I was like, oh my, I have done something. And it was on Reddit. It was on Hacker News. And I started getting all these emails of people. They'll be like, your article is called In Defense of Single Page Applications. But do you know what? You're not very good at your job.
Jeez.
And I used to write back. I was like, look, just refresh your browser and wait for the HTML to hydrate. And if you look at the thread where I originally tweeted, you can see people like, doesn't work for me. What does it say? And you can see someone would comment after, oh, just wait. And I would chime in and just say, yeah, just some people's browsers don't hydrate the HTML properly. And it just took a life of its own. And I now see people, if they're arguing online, you'll see people, they'll say, yeah, Joe, I agree with you. Read this, what this guy has to say, and I think you'll agree too. And it just became a troll. It was amazing because so many people, there seems to be two classes of developers, those who are in on the joke and those who are not. And to see people like Mike Param was retweeting it and levels.io, who's a popular indie hacker, all these people were just retweeting it. It was just wild. And I still, even on Hacker News, the forum for so-called smart people.
I've never heard it called that before.
There was one person that he was like, I disabled JavaScript and I still couldn't get this to work. I checked it in. And then you can see he leaves the comment later, goes, I just realized that I have been played. So yeah, it was a pretty fun moment. And it just showed for me, I just never had much attention all at once. And there was someone that reached out to me to be on a podcast. And in the end, they found out I'm Irish and I swear quite a bit. So the podcast never made it. But yeah, so that was my moment of fame. And even now people would still email me every once in a while about it, which I think is kind of funny. But that is my most famous moment.
Excellent. You know you win when people can't tell if it's a joke or not. That's when you really strike.
The thing is, you know, when you have a frustrating error and say, I was actually joking with someone there, that's what Webpacker used to do to me. It's like you'd have these kind of errors where you just, and all of a sudden it would just work and you're like, what did I do? Oh, just don't do anything else until I figure out. And I feel like I inflicted that pain on a lot of people, you know? So maybe it's not, maybe it's a bit evil, you know?
No, it's chaotic good. That's where it lies in the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
So in the current war on SBAs, I feel like that little spinner played a small part in changing people's minds for...
Yeah. You started a cultural movement, basically.
Well, I couldn't take credit because I didn't do any work. 30 seconds is all it took.
That sounds amazing.
That's like Andrew's day job.
You're not wrong.
It was that little stone that just maybe might have caused an avalanche. It's like Wales. They do this event every year. And it's called the Cheese Rolling Festival. And they take like a round block of cheese and they roll it down a very bumpy hill. And thousands of people chase the cheese. And there's nothing but chaos. And that's all those NPM packages just crashing. We're no longer needed. And the victor just emerges with a roll of cheese that you can't eat because it's just rolled on the ground.
But it's dirty and it smells.
So, yeah.
Tell us your Ruby confession.
My Ruby confession...
Confess to us. This is a confession booth.
Mm. Oh.
What's the worst thing you've ever done with Ruby?
This is early on in my career. I figured out how to, like, I was learning about metaprogramming and I was kind of building this report tool and I was like, Joe, it'd be cool. Will you inject the methods? So I had all the scope methods and the person just kind of filtered down and then it would send the scopes into the controller and then there was like kind of the metaprogram to filter them down. However, it wasn't just like a SQL injection. It was a Ruby method injection. And so I quickly learned I had to change the implementation. So that was kind of very early on. But yeah, I'm a lot less naive now. Nothing happened.
Because now that I think about it, so when I learned metaprogramming, I didn't know I was actually metaprogramming.
But meta.
It was in Python, and I was building an IRC client. And the first like word in the protocol, the message comes across, and it's like direct message or whatever. And I was like, oh, you know what I could do? Instead of this giant if statement, I could call the method with the same name. I didn't do any sanitization on there, so anybody could send a message and be like, call delete or whatever, and that would have been pretty bad. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, William, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
You want us to go grab us another person?
Yeah. I suppose you're going to edit all my bit.
No.
Keep it all.
No. You specifically, it's all staying in.
Also, William was our ticket winner.
Yes.
Yeah, the fantastic tweet about Rails World.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much for the ticket. That was appreciated. That was
thanks for the laugh.
Yeah.
The lulls.
Well, I was trying to win a ticket because I had the website open to buy the tickets. And I have a newborn and she just needed her nappy changed at the moment. And I was like, it's not going to sell out. Like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it did. It was just panic trying to get a ticket. Like, I was trying every avenue. And yeah, so when you're. Competition came up, which I thought was, I'm probably going to say this because I won the ticket, but I thought was very fair and impartial. And
that's what we like to hear.
Yeah. You wanted to pick the best moment from the podcast. And even though you talk about a lot of technical things, it's actually the stories of like your personal stories that kind of, because I would listen to it when I'm going for a jog or something and it kind of sticks in my head. And that.
I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
Like this,
you can't get it out. Actually. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, because it's just. Do you use the word banter?
Yes.
Yeah. So Andrew and Jason are Bantasauruses. Just the banter is just brilliant, and
on my resume.
Yeah, and I just remember because I remember that moment. The photo was actually first, so I got the story mixed up when the tweet. Well, actually, it was editorials to make it better, but yeah, and just the picture after the podcast episode was so funny. Just stuck in my mind for some reason.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was a good picture.
Well. Glad you're here.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers.
We're talking to Vladimir, who was on our last episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Oh, did you?
Hello, everyone. If you're listening to me, I know. Should I wear this?
Why not?
Do what you want.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't talk to me like that. That could end
bad.
Well,
now I want
to. Okay. So, Chris.
Yes.
I need to sign
the
copy for you.
Andrew dictate what is signed, though.
Oh.
So, yes, actually, this is the last print copy I got for this conference of my book, Layered Design. And that I was thinking about, okay, a few people approached me, maybe you have a copy. I said, I have one, but I'm still not sure who's going to be the receiver. And I had this idea in mind. So whoever is going to be Luminary.
Yeah, the Rails
Luminati.
Rails Luminary, yeah. And I think that's a good way to congratulate the person. Received this award was one more smaller gift, especially since you don't have it.
Man got $1,000. What more does he need?
You're spending that on us, right, Chris?
Yeah, we're partying tonight.
Oh,
get that coffee.
Okay,
finally.
Send me a GPS coordinates.
Smoke boat.
Smoke boat. Let's go.
Smoke boat. Oh, is there a thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been to Amsterdam for many years, so.
You think Andrew's lived here his whole life.
Dude.
Well, thank you for this. This is awesome.
Yes. If I'm just writing some bullshit in English, don't worry, because this illumination stuff, Illuminati, is it related?
It's working.
That reminds me, the kind of a theme of my talk, because, well, I came up with a title, like Twisted Transistors, and that's actually the title of the Korn song, one of the older Korn song. And then I decided to build my kind of a theme of the talk around it, slides, and I use some remixed song names and whatever. And one of the songs that came up with my mind was this Luminary effect. It's called Illuminati. I don't know what this song is about, actually. This album is not my best one, but I don't think it's related to Luminary, right? As far as I know, like Illuminati is something like related to Brick Masons, all this huge temple in Philadelphia.
Now he's bringing in my people.
Oh, have anyone been to Blue Ridge Ruby?
I think Jeremy Smith has.
Yeah, he might have.
As far as I remember, their venue was actually the old Mason.
Oh, yeah, I think it was.
Like yeah, it was.
I remember. So, yeah.
To Chris, and, thanks from for the memories.
Love always.
I will remember you. And you.
Yes.
So, what you should do as Luminary, what's your new obligation to the community?
I feel like as the Luminary, working on docs and education stuff and the guides and all that they've been talking about, rewriting and stuff, trying to help out there, seems like a good place to start.
The High Luminary has entered the building. Should we bow?
I didn't get knighted on stage, which is kind of disappointing.
DJ should have knighted you with a muffler.
I think that needs to be the thing every year.
Yeah. The okay. Illuminaries. You sound like a villain on a TV show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for your contribution to the community. So,
thanks for writing such
well,
a great
it's already obvious that everyone appreciated, so I'm just joining the party here. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Small edition.
And everybody needs to go check out your book. I was reading it on the flight over for a little while.
So how was the live streaming from the conference? It's not the first time you're doing like something that, or with this format, it's the first time, I think.
Yeah, it's the first time all three of us have recorded in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for the whole conference continuously, right?
Yeah.
The previous sessions were like the fixed time slot.
This is the only time we've ever done like a free-for-all like this, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah,
it sure has.
Thanks for coming and filling in the gaps.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello, chaps. My name is Julian. I guess I'm a Rails developer from Bath, although I'm not actually from England. Just want to make sure I'm Welsh.
Okay.
So not English, Welsh.
Yeah.
Yes.
The answer's no. Okay.
How was your conference?
Oh, it's been wonderful. So I started it last week in Friendly RB in Romania.
You did the
triathlon.
Yeah.
So what's a triathlon when there's only two sides? That's why I did the two.
Biathlon.
Yeah. So I did the diathlon. And so that was wonderful last week. And then coming here, going from like a 130 person conference to like a 70,000 people conference.
How was the first conference?
So Friendly RB was so cool. We really got to experience all of like Romanian food and culture. We even had the train be like 3 hours late when we went on a day trip, which is super typical for Romania. So that was really fun to be able to spend time with Rubius stranded hundreds of kilometers away from the city.
That seems like a great bonding experience.
Yes.
I only know one thing about Romania.
Can you share it?
No.
Well, thank you for your input. Yes.
Thanks for your contributions.
It would get us in trouble if I said it. Julian, tell us your Ruby confession. Yeah.
So many years ago, I was giving a talk about making music with Ruby. One of my demos was using SonicPy. But at that point, SonicPy didn't support sending MIDI data to physical instruments. And so I thought, oh, I could write this. So within SonicPy, it has DRB, because all Ruby has DRB. So I used that to send messages to this little Ruby script I had that was sending MIDI to my instruments. And so gave this talk in Ruby Kaigi. And then the conference organizers say, hey, there's this guy we want you to meet after my talk. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm really sorry I forgot his name. They're like, he is the inventor of DRB Ruby. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I've just done horrible things with your code. I'm so sorry. And then I find out later on that Sam Aaron, the creator of SonicPy, is like, hey, I looked at your Ruby MIDI implementation, but it wasn't fast enough, so I wrote my own. And I'm like, of course it wasn't. Like, why were you even looking at my code? So that was my Ruby confession. I write like bad it. Code.
That's great.
I do too. Julian, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to hearing you next week. Same time, same place?
Same place.
Yep. It's still closing be in time. Amsterdam.
Yeah, I will. I'm never leaving.